Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
Welcome back, everybody. However you're listening this morning, we appreciate you joining us for part of your morning. And this hour of the show brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. Delta Dental's plans are designed to meet your unique needs and budget with a wide range of coverage options to choose from. Whether you're looking for basic coverage or comprehensive protection, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered. As a not-for-profit organization, Delta Dental of Kentucky invests in their community to help improve access to dental care for everyone and believes all Kentuckians deserve a happy, healthy smile. So why wait? Sign up for Delta Dental of Kentucky today and start enjoying the benefits of a healthy smile. You can visit them at deltadentalky.com or you can always call 800-955-2030 to learn more.
PGA players finding out on Twitter today about the merger. They were not warned ahead of the... Dan, this is one of the great days in the history of this show. I mean, just these self-righteous a-holes. Can I say a-hole?
No.
We're leaving it. So they're in a sales meeting. The federal government has listened to radio exactly once in the last 10 years.
Hey, way to go, Louie. You get us kicked off the air when the suits are down.
So self-righteous. And then they find out on Twitter because they're, oh, man. Come be sanctimonious with us. And then they find out on Twitter.
Yeah.
Good
Lord. Yeah. How do you feel about your partnership now, Rory?
Do you know what's funny is I was in the back and I'm like, it just felt like eventually they were like, we can sue you forever. And we can, you know, we can afford lawyers forever. Mark Ennis goes, yeah, it's kind of like Scientology. And I went, it kind of is.
Where's the guy that's back in Baffert in all these lawsuits?
Yeah, exactly.
Zidane?
That's a great point.
Yeah, where's he from? Where's he from? Oh, Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Oh.
Texters, a bunch of great texts, by the way. 437-9680. A reset day is my wife's excuse every day. That's pretty funny. Text her. That sultry voice on the Canes read, you can definitely see it when I stand up. Yeah, that's good. text her. I just heard the interview on CNBC. LIV said they're interested in all sports. Would they buy Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby? They have the money. That's kind of the point of this. They have the money. So.
Yep.
And they love horse racing. So there you go. All right. Well, rivalry preservation is job one, Dan, in the SEC football.
Yeah, you know what?
For a man named Mark Story, you know who grew up just south of
here. Yeah. Right. Yeah. North Laurel or what were? Right?
North Harden.
Anyway, North Harden. You know, Mark, we make fun of Mark, but Mark is Mark's a very good writer. But he missed this one by a mile.
Mm.
They don't care about restoring or maintaining rivalries. They're worried about getting three gimme wins every year.
I agree. Yep.
That's what they're worried about.
Yep.
'Cause if they go, as you said before, if they go to nine SEC games, they either have to drop the Louisville game or they have to drop one of their gimmies. And that's what this is all about. That's why they don't want to go. They could care less that they don't play Vandy or Tennessee every year. That's not the point at all. So I thought Mark missed the point on this one.
I think Kentucky football cares about what you just said, and that is getting to six wins and getting to a bowl game. And that Commonwealth is 85 to 90% full. That's what they care about.
Yeah.
That's it. So you have the home games when the weather's good, and it doesn't matter who the opponent is. People are going to show up because it's a party. And good for them for cultivating that environment, by the way. And then after that, if there happen to be a couple good games on the schedule, which, by the way, because of the league that you play in, there are going to be good games on the schedule. You're going to have interesting home games. If someone comes to you and says, hey, I've got a ticket for UK this weekend. Oh, who are they playing? Oh, they're playing Georgia. They're playing Auburn. They're playing, I'm trying to pick, Arkansas, something like that. It's going to be an interesting game, right? You're going to get an interesting opponent. And so that's already built into the 9-game part of this. Having Louisville on the schedule would be purely, purely out of grace and gratitude. And so that's probably not going to happen.
Well, and I don't know the finances.
No, the problem with, here's the real problem with the rivalry game, Dan. Every other year you don't play it at your house.
Yeah.
You give up a home game every other year. No way. They're never going to do that.
And I'm guessing when they play the Akron States and those teams, Central Michigan, I'm guessing that they being Kentucky, make more money on that because they just have to give those schools a guarantee for showing up, right?
I would guess over two years it balances out to make more money having a Central twice than playing Louisville home and home. Yes.
Yeah, because as you just said, you only get, I'm guessing, when they play Louisville at Kroger Field, I'm guessing they keep the revenue. And when they play at the Bank Center, whatever the name of that place is, I'm guessing Louisville keeps the money. So they only get to do that every other year. But if they're playing the Chippewas, they give them, $100,000 for showing up, and they keep the rest of it in their pocket every year.
Can you name?
So that's what this is about.
No question.
This isn't about preserving rivalry.
Yeah, there's no nobility in these things. What can you name Central Michigan's greatest basketball player ever, Dan?
I can't.
We were looking for Dan Marley. How about that? Dan Marley.
Ooh, Dan Marley.
One of those guys.
Yeah. Phoenix Suns.
That played in the NBA forever. Yeah, no, the guy, he figured it out for sure. Mm-hmm. Don't you appreciate, though?
I think he...
Go ahead.
He coached at Grand Canyon for a while, too.
Oh, did he? Can you spell Marley?
No. Marley.
Majerle.
I know that's how.
How about that?
Where is the J from?
From Slovenia.
They're wrong. But they're wrong. There's no J in Marley.
Slovenia must be like me. They missed the day spelling was covered.
There you go. Or Slovenia is in Tennessee, right, Dan? He was with, as a player, the Suns, 88 to 95, a year with the Cavs, four seasons with the Heat, and then one more retirement year with the Suns. Caught on as an assistant in 2008, and then, of course, took the Grand Canyon job until 2020. Mm-hmm. Which Hall of Fames do you think he's in?
Good guy, too.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Good guy.
All right.
Yeah, I ran into him. We were in Phoenix for something. Maybe just a vacation. And Sherry and I went to his place. He had a restaurant. And we went to his restaurant for lunch one day, and he just happened to be there and sat down and visited with us for 10 or 15 minutes. Good guy.
He averaged 10.5 and 5 for his career, along with 2.5 assists. That's pretty – hang on. No, 11.5. What am I doing? Shortchanging him. 11.5, 4.5, and 3 assists per game. So – those are the kinds of numbers that keep you in the league for a long time. So.
Sounds like Kevin Love.
I'm getting texts in French now. You're a bum. is what the text says. I'm a bum. So just so everyone knows.
How many Hall of Fames is Dan Marley in?
He's in the Central Michigan Hall of Fame, and that's it. Thunder Dan, as he was known, Texter saying.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Texter.
Thunder Dan could shoot from Slovenia, so put some respect on his name. Whoa. That's a text for Avery, not for me. I'm not
it's the spelling. I I'm sure he was great, but it's
the dude could play basketball for sure. No, he was a good basketball player for sure.
Yeah, but wait a second. Let's not go overboard here. He's in one less Hall of Fame than Bosich is.
Is there a Mid-American Conference Hall of Fame? Because he would be in the MAC Hall of Fame. Mid-American Conference Hall of Fame. Tell me there's one. There is one. Okay, hang on. All right, we're doing this. So the MAC Hall of Fame, is Marley in it? Yes. Let's go.
All right,
so he's in two. In your face, Bosich. How about that? Dan Marley's in two. How about that? He was inducted in 2017. He was a three-time MAC Alt first-team player, the only player in Central Michigan history, and led Central Michigan to the MAC title and conference tournament championship in 1987. So there you go. Second all-time leading scorer. Who's the all-time leading scorer?
Not Marley.
At Central Michigan?
Yeah, this is now a rabbit hole that I'm going down.
This is like Hubie the other day with Rick Barry. I don't know how we got on Dan Marley.
Mel McLaughlin. How about that? By 25 points.
Huh. Ooh. Oh.
I'll take Dan Marley. How about that?
You fed Dan a little bit more.
Rupp's on the sideline. Do you know Dan Marley's on this team? Do you know that? Pass the ball to Dan Marley. You understand me? Oh, man. I hope like five people got that reference. Oh, man. Marley, Wally Szczerbiak, and Roethlisberger are the only MAC Hall of Famers. How about that? There you go. Ben Roethlisberger played where, Dan? Do you remember?
Miami of Ohio.
Look at you. All right. How about Wally Szczerbiak?
Wally Szczerbiak played at Akron.
Ooh, is that right? We're going right now. Are you sure of that, or are we just guessing?
No, I'm just guessing.
Okay, hang on. Wikipedia page. He played at Miami, Ohio as well. How about that? Okay, never mind.
Oh, all right. Oh, man.
They have a good hockey program, so they have a ton of NHLers come out of there. But I did not know that they had both Wally Szczerbiak and Ben Roethlisberger out of the same place. But yeah, but I'll take Dan. Those three, I'll take Roethlisberger one. Ooh, how good was Marley?
They were the only three people in the MAC Hall of Fame?
No. It's a texture making a joke. Yeah. Oh, no. There's like all Hall of Fames, since you hate all of them now, Dan, there are too many people in the MAC Hall of Fame. How's that?
Yeah.
It's too easy to get into the MAC Hall of Fame. I said it out loud. Sports Talk Radio. How about that?
No, it means nothing.
In your face, Dan Marley. Dan Marley. Wally Szczerbiak.
How'd we get to there?
Oh, man. Issel and Louie here. Until noon, Bobby V after us. We do it local 7 to 6 every single weekday here on ESPN 680. 105.7. The brass is in town. You couldn't tell by the way this show's going. But we will do True Crime Tuesday in 10 minutes and derail the show completely. Her name's Avery Dild. You'll hang out with her every Tuesday if you're new to the show. We're going to kill someone today is what I've heard. And so,
yes, we are.
How long has she been dead?
A hot minute.
Okay. All right. Hot minute means a long time if you're over the age of 26.
2001.
Aha. There you go. What were you doing in 2001, Dan?
2001, I was coaching the Denver Nuggets.
Damn right you were.
Unfortunately. for me and the Nuggets.
So you didn't have the Monty Williams contract is what I'm hearing.
No.
Texter, man, okay. Dan is sure excited about this LIV PGA news. I haven't heard him gloat like this since Kansas beat Kentucky.
I said from the very beginning, these guys on the they were mouthpieces. They were fed information, and like a bunch of robots, they went out there and spewed the PGA agenda. And they were idiots because all the LIV did was put money in their pockets. And now they're going to have to take it all back because they're going to be playing with these guys every weekend that there's not an LIV event. So that's I love it when people make fools of themselves and aren't smart enough to realize it's a benefit to them.
Should LeBron move to the Mavs and play with Kyrie?
Now that's just stupid talk.
Do you know what's going to happen? Is the Mavericks are going to get hit with tampering, even though Kyrie's a free agent, and they're going to have to pay a fine because Kyrie's an idiot. Like, that's what's about to happen.
Yeah.
That's about to happen.
And let me tell you that the NBA loves to fine Mark Cuban. So you're exactly right.
Yes,
that's what's going to happen. But you know, people write these stories and they don't even realize what the restrictions are. I mean, if they re-sign Irving, they would have to have an opt out of LeBron's contract in L.A., and he'd have to go and play for like the veteran maximum in Dallas. I mean, it's just, don't even waste your breath on it. It's not happening. The part that I like is that the Lakers have said they have no intention of signing Kyrie. Kyrie should get what Kyrie deserves.
So Wembanyama's probably going to start his stateside career in Sacramento. You do 7 or 8 card signings a month in Sacramento. Are you planning to see Wembanyama when you're out there?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not. San Antonio is, for those that don't know, the largest NBA summer league event is in Vegas. It used to be in Salt Lake City.
Right.
And then a bunch of the people that had to go watch this, whether they wanted to or not, got together and said, you know what? It might be better having our off time in Las Vegas instead of Salt Lake City. So we can go play craps instead of visiting the Mormon Tabernacle. So they moved it to Las Vegas. But it's the big, every NBA team will have a team in the Las Vegas Summer League. But there are these satellite summer leagues, and like the one in Sacramento, where I think they have, 6 or 8 teams that prior to the Las Vegas, but they are all sanctioned by the NBA. So some people were getting upset that he wasn't going to launch his NBA career in Las Vegas, but the commissioner said, hey, we got no problem with it. We sanctioned the one in Sacramento. So it looks like that's where people will get a chance to see him in the summer league.
At this stage in your life, would you rather live in Sacramento or in Vegas?
I was talking to somebody, who was it, that had lived in, a reporter the other day, who had lived in Vegas, and I said, I understand if you can, you know, stay off the strip and keep your money in your pocket, that Las Vegas is a great place to live. And she kind of wrinkled up her nose and she said, no, the crime is getting awful.
Oh,
she
okay.
said, I had an uncle who lived in a very affluent neighborhood, and his house got broken into multiple times. So I always thought Las Vegas would be a better place, but maybe not. I'm totally happy right where I am. I'll take Denver, Colorado, as long as I stay out of downtown. And that, as Henry said, does anybody smell that smell I'm smelling?
He just has uncool parents is what I'm hearing. There you go. Texter reminding me that Ben Roethlisberger beat U of L in the GMAC Bowl. How about that? In 2003, Miami, Ohio was ranked number 10. They won 49-24. Holy moly. Yeah. Now he was
probably one of the highlights of Big Ben's career.
Why did you just do that? Why'd you just do
so
that?
So people will think you're a bird brain.
Anything else, Dan? Anything else you want to call me? Any names? Anything else we need to do?
No. I didn't call you that. I did. I've never called you a name. Just referencing what the texters call you.
More likely Jordan Burks has multiple double-digit scoring games this year, or Kentucky football keeps the rivalry with U of L after they go to nine games.
Are we all in that this kid's coming to Kentucky?
I'm not even all in on the kid coming to Kentucky. How about that?
I think Kentucky has to keep the Louisville game. I would say there will be more pressure on Kentucky to keep the Louisville game than the Tennessee rivalry. Do you think that's true?
Ooh.
Do you agree with that?
Wow. I don't know the answer to that because I hadn't considered if it had to be one or the other. Are you saying there'll be more pressure as far as, like, fans will want to keep the Tennessee game or keep the Louisville game?
Yeah, yeah.
I think the football game is so outshined by the basketball game that it's not even...
The UK-U of L game.
Yeah, that yeah. I just... And I think because they're in the same league, you see Tennessee enough in other sports, and you can hate them. You can hate Rick Barnes and blah, 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 and all that stuff, and... Texture, yeah, except for all those two Super Bowls for Big Ben. Yeah, those are the highlights, I know. We know, that was the joke, Texture. Okay. Lots of Big Ben not a good guy texts coming in now. Okay, there we go. Well, that's also true.
I just say...
Only so much I can do. But I would say to you... Go ahead.
What are the chances that what are the better chances that they beat Tennessee or they beat Louisville?
Oh, Louisville, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know that matters. And frankly, if Brohm can do a halfway decent job here, we've seen that, you know, halfway decent coaches win that rivalry game too, right? Even against Stoops. And so especially guys that seem to better understand the rivalry. It was clear that Satterfield was underwater as soon as the game started against UK. He just had no chance, right? He was already gasping for air before the game started. Texter, tell Dan to settle down. He needs to spend more time downtown Denver and take long, slow, deep breaths whenever he smells something funky. Oh, man. All right, do a longer Delta read here, and then we will get into True Crime Tuesday on the other side.
Okay. Are you looking for an insurance company that you can trust? Look no further than Delta Dental of Kentucky. Delta Dental is a local, not-for-profit insurance company that's been serving the people of Kentucky for over 50 years. Delta Dental of Kentucky provides dental and vision insurance to both individuals and businesses across the Commonwealth. They are committed to helping you and your family achieve optimal oral health. So why wait? Sign up for Delta Dental of Kentucky today and start enjoying the benefits of a healthy smile. You can visit them at deltadental.com. No, deltadentalky.com. Or you can always call them 800-955-2030 to learn more.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, instrumental music, sexy chicken lunch reads. We've got it all here on Issel and Louis, taking you up until noon on ESPN 680, 105.7. Bobby B, be in the saddle after me. And then, of course, you can catch First Replay, Sweezy and Streetle, most likely in studio today. Who's producing that effort today, Avery Dill?
That'll be James.
How about that? Little James Black in the afternoon. Good stuff there. Does anyone talk less and is quieter in radio than James Black?
No.
No, he's it, right?
Yeah, no, yeah. He's much quieter than I am, and I'm pretty quiet.
Yeah, behind the scenes. On air, not so much. But we do get to True Crime Tuesday here with our friends at Red Hot Roasters, corner of Lexington and Payne for the drive-thru. You can catch them at all of your local Kroger stores in the Kentucky Proud section. Look for those traditional metal coffee cans. If you do buy one and you take it back to Lexington and Payne at their headquarters there, they will give you a discount on a refill. Of course, if you order two cans on the website, the shipping is nothing. And so go ahead and check them out, redhotroasters.com as well. And if you're out at the state fairgrounds, they are the official coffee supplier out there as as well. So even if you have to go to, say, some kind of convention or whatever, you're going to get an awesome cup of coffee with our friends, Sandra and the team over there at Red Hot Roasters. All right, Avery, let's kill somebody.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Cry. Okay. Let's go.
Okay.
Okay. So this is Michael Peterson. Like I said last week, if you tuned in, never trust a Peterson. I don't trust Peterson.
So true, you did.
There's
say that.
So many creepy Petersons. I don't trust them.
So Scandinavia, you're out. All right, keep going.
Also, if you heard me yesterday, I said that he claims it was not him. He does not blame it on another person. He blames it on an owl. It was not the owl. I don't believe the owl theory. So, anyway, he possibly murdered his wife.
Avery, was the owl ever subpoenaed?
No, the owl was not subpoenaed. But there was a whole press conference about the owl.
I'll tell you what, if we would secure the border and keep these owls out, Dan, we'd be a lot better off as a country. Keep going.
No question. No question.
So, this happened December 9th, 2001 in Durham, North Carolina. So, Michael had married Kathleen Atwater in 1997. They appeared as, like, the perfect couple, because, of course, they did. That's always how that goes.
It starts that way.
Exactly. And then, so, on the night of December 9th, they're having wine out by the pool after, having a movie night. And Kathleen, she goes to bed earlier than Michael this night. However, instead of making it to the bed maybe she came downstairs or whatever, like around 2:40 a.m., Michael finds her at the bottom of the stairs in a pool of blood, because of course. However, he claims that's where he found her. I believe he did it. So she's on the phone call for the first one with 911. She's breathing. They get disconnected. Mm. And in the second call, she's not breathing.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's a head wound, so possibly that, like, yeah, it can happen. But also, I believe, like, he did it. Never trust a Peterson.
Text her asking, who said the owl did it? Keep going.
Oh, that is great. And Michael also claims he was still outside. How do you not hear your wife fall down, like, cement stairs? Like, it's a nice house.
Well, cement, about falling on cement, it muffles the impact of the fall.
Well, like, the door was open from everything I've seen. Yeah. So, like, how do you not hear your wife fall down the stairs if you're still awake? I don't believe you. All right. And so, several years later, he claims an owl attacked her. How would you not hear an owl attacking your wife? I'm pretty sure your wife would probably be screaming if she was being attacked by an owl. So, the medical examiner, they show up at the scene, and he's, like, he guesses accident, it makes sense. Like, she's falling downstairs, head wound, all that jazz.
Sure.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
However, when he's actually completing the autopsy and all that, he's like, these wounds do not match, like, an accidental fall. This is, like, blunt force trauma.
Mm.
So, something's not adding up.
More likely, Cal and Mitch get back together, or the owl did it. 437-9680. Keep going.
And so then, of course, Michael, he gets indicted on December 20th. He turns himself in like a good citizen.
What a guy.
I know. And he posts his bail and gets released January 14th, 2002. So, he's not even in jail for a month. Shortly after, Kathleen's daughter, Caitlin, she files a wrongful death lawsuit against him and gets awarded $25 million. Go, Caitlin. She does not trust Michael. I don't trust Michael.
Because he's a Peterson.
Yes.
Right.
Go, Caitlin.
Not a Peterson.
Now, however, June 2003, they come into contact with the case of Elizabeth Ratliff, who was Michael's previous neighbor in Germany. And her death is very similar to Kathleen's. Like, she's found at the bottom of the stairs, head wounds, all that jazz. They believe maybe she had a hemorrhage in her brain that caused her to pass out originally.
Mm.
So they ruled it like totally natural, no possible reason. However, because of Kathleen's death and the similarities with Michael being the last person to see her alive,
right,
they exhume her body. They take a look. They do an all-new autopsy. She's got head wounds that basically match Kathleen's.
Mm.
So are you saying an owl also attacked Elizabeth? It's a little too suspicious that Elizabeth and Kathleen match very well.
Ooh.
And then he adopted Elizabeth's children.
Damn right.
Like,
power move.
I get it. Like, I believe. Yeah, but like, you kill their mom and then you adopt her children.
Yeah, that's not good.
When you weren't even, like, married to her. Like,
power move.
Oh, okay, Michael, sure. You totally did not do it. So the district attorney, Jim Harden, for Kathleen's case, he claims that Michael had hit her at the bottom of the stairs.
Mm.
They got a blood spatter analysis. Like, however, this guy, Dwayne, he, not great. He was very, he's a fishy dude. He's a fishy dude.
Ooh.
He withheld and started reporting false information.
Ooh.
He was inattentive during multiple cases. So not great. They believe she was hit with a blow poke. Now, this blow poke, it was missing.
Blow poke?
Yeah. And someone else in the family had the matching one.
Right.
But this, it's missing. Mm. Where is yours?
Where is yours?
Did the owl take it? I think not. I'm pretty sure you would have seen an owl with a stick.
Blow poke. Who?
All right. So then... Michael's defense, they argued that she fell backwards going up the stairs and she suffered some trauma. She hit a door, which is why, like, her head was cut open. But then she tried to go, like, get up, go upstairs, and then fell backwards, and that's what killed her. Yeah, I don't believe that.
Mm.
I don't believe it.
Okay.
I mean, some people can be stubborn like me and keep going with injuries. But I just don't believe this.
Some people can be like me, but I don't believe that some people are like me is essentially what you just said.
I don't believe.
No, I actually appreciate that because I kind of do the same thing about myself.
Yeah.
You're good.
Woo. So eventually Michael was found guilty and sentenced to prison in 2003. Hmm. And on August 21st, 2008, attorney Larry Pollard, he holds a press conference where he announces the owl did it. There were microscopic feathers found in her hair.
Oh.
Why was this not reported beforehand?
Good question.
Why was this not brought up in the trial?
Great question.
Exactly. And that all of the lacerations, the owl's talons. But that doesn't answer the blowpoke question. Where is it?
Yeah, where is it?
Exactly.
Ooh.
Eventually, the blowpoke shows back up.
Oh.
Exactly.
Where?
And so September 14th, 2011, he's granted a new trial. And it was partly due to the fact that his shirt that he was wearing that night was never properly investigated. It was never tested. Sometimes you can't see blood spatters, but there could be blood, you know? And Dwayne, his assistant, she changed instructions to go from... There were instructions to get it tested along with Kathleen's clothing. And she's like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go send that directly to Dwayne so that he can just look at it. Not do any testing. So, bad part on you. And so...
By the way, multiple texts that the owl did kill a Tootsie Pop in 3 licks. And I just... Man... That is a musty reference that Avery doesn't get,
I
but
do
it's
get it.
Oh, okay. Avery,
how many
multiple
does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop.
There it is. Multiple people asking, "What the bleep is a blowpoke?"
Oh, it's the thing for where you like push the wood around in a fireplace.
Correct.
It's that thing so that you can like move things around safely. And so he's released in 2017 because the judge believes that
the owl did.
It's possible that he did not do it. However, there is enough evidence that he could be convicted. So he decides to go with the Alford plea. Like, he can still be convicted of her murder.
Right.
Because of the amount of evidence.
So it's not a double jeopardy thing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yep. He's released as a free man currently. Michael, go back. Go back to prison. Go back. You did it. It was not the owl. I don't believe this owl.
By the way, texter pointing out that this guy was a bit of work. We get more texts every week on this. Man, there's so many good texts about owls. Texter pointing out that that Mr. Peterson is a piece of work. He had a film crew follow him around to make a documentary during the trial.
Yeah. Ugh. They started that in 2002. Ugh.
All right. Well, good job. Who do you think did it, Avery?
Good job, Michael.
Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah. This one's pretty easy.
Yeah, it was Michael. It was not the owl.
And he's walking around a free man.
Exactly. And still blaming the owl.
Does he have custody of the kids still?
They are grown.
Okay.
Right. Yes. They are very much so grown.
Ugh.
And Caitlin still doesn't believe him. Which is good. Go, Caitlin.
But
we
she's got a bunch
you.
Of money too, right?
Yes.
Well, good. Okay. Right.
She has $25 million.
At least she has that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That is presented by our friends for some reason over at Red Hot Roasters, redhotroasters.com. Order two of their cans of coffee, and they will ship. The shipping cost is zero, so there you go. Corner of Lexington and Payne for the drive-thru. Avery's favorite vanilla latte in the city, my favorite cup of coffee in the city. Go check them out over there. And if you are at the State Fairgrounds, of course, they are the coffee supplier down there. I think, Dan, honestly, even at the fairgrounds, it's like $3 a cup for a good cup of coffee. That is impossible to beat, so go check them out as well. And like I mentioned, every week at Kroger stores as well in the Kentucky Proud section. I'm sorry, the text line's amazing. In the Kentucky Proud section, in those old school metal cans, refill those metal cans at Lexington and Payne at their headquarters there. By the way, they're just up the street, Avery, if people are interested, from something called the Payne Street Bakehouse, which is where Nancy's Bagels is now. Hmm. And I cannot think of a better Saturday morning, Sunday morning, whatever it might be. Fresh bagel, fresh schmear. Swing by Red Hot Roasters, get yourself that cappuccino, that latte, whatever you might want to get. Those two things together, just a terrific thing, and they're about a block from each other. You could actually walk it very easily.
That would be great.
Over in the Butchertown-ish area there, so go check those out together. There you go, Dan. How about that?
Yeah, good.
Texters, we've been doing this long enough. What number was this, Avery?
48.
So we're coming up on 50, and we got to do something for the 50th. Because it's actually...
I've got a great idea.
Oh, boy.
Talking about people that are guilty that are out walking around. Let's do OJ for number 50.
Okay.
Done.
I like that one.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. OJ for 50.
I'm here for it.
Texter, we get suggestions now on the text line. Are you ready for a suggestion?
Yes.
Sure. Do you know anything to make the show better.
You don't believe that at all. I honestly don't know the pronunciation here, but Shonda or Shanda Scherer is a local case, and David Cam, local true crime, and apparently it's horrible.
Ooh. I like you, Texter. You can stay.
She got excited that it's horrible. worth your time. Apparently, to check those out. So there you go.
Okay, we'll do that for 49 and OJ for 50.
Suggested for the 50th, Avery needs to actually kill someone and see if she can get away with it. Thank you, Texter.
That would be... I'd like to keep my job, please.
There it is, okay. Plus other things.
That too.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to get into that right now. By the way, if you are interested in any of the conversation around the stuff we talked about... Oh, man.
Right. And why wouldn't you be?
It's been roughly around 1,000 minutes wasted on True Crime Tuesday. Oh, Texter, come on. Avery's laughing.
True Crime Tuesday is a very polarizing thing from the people I know.
No question. Yes.
They either love it or they say, what are you doing wasting that amount of show on True Crime Tuesday? There seems to be no middle ground on True Crime Tuesday.
There's none.
That's crime for you.
Well, that's just doing something that isn't the silliness that is this show, essentially.
That too.
Well, what's interesting, actually, is if you think about it, we officially launched the show July 5 of last year. Dan and I started hanging out in June. And so I think we actually started doing True Crime Tuesday before the show even launched. Because I think we started it in June last year.
Or like right around that, because...
Texter pointing out it's time well wasted on True Crime Tuesday. It's all good. I think it's funny. Man, multiple, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. I mean, I don't mind talking about that case for a couple minutes here. But so, Dan, you were in Denver when all that went down, yes?
Right, yeah.
I was in eighth grade when the trial happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Remember the white Bronco chase?
I do.
When they cleared the 405, which is a huge accomplishment in itself.
That's a great point, actually.
A billion cars on the 405. And the white Bronco is going down like 5 miles an hour. We were, Sheridan was at Northwestern, and we were having dinner in a Maggiano's restaurant,
okay.
Italian place. And word got around, and there was a fairly large bar next to a really large dining room. And so they're showing the Bronco chase on the TV in the bar, and everyone got up from their dining chair and walked in, and we were standing elbow to elbow watching the Ford Bronco go down the 405 at 10 miles
an hour. I was going to say 5 miles an hour, yeah.
My parents were in high school, and they had it on the TVs everywhere during school hours.
You know, the first thing I remember that we stopped school for was the Oklahoma City bombing. So that was a couple years later in 1995. So the OJ thing was during the summer, so we were out of school. And so I remember my aunt and uncle were actually visiting. I think OJ is one of those. Do you remember where you were? I also remember getting home from hanging out with some buddies in high school, and Princess Diana had died in that car accident.
Yeah.
And I remember I was like, wow, Saturday Night Live is not funny this week. And then, you know, I'm like 17 or something, figuring that out. Way to go, Avery. Take a stab at the OJ story. Texter, ooh. I lived off the 405 in Southern California. When OJ drove by, I could hear the sirens. Oh, there you go. Thank you, Texter. The owl does say that OJ did it. Texter, go ahead, Dan.
No, I was going to say, when we were in Los Angeles, you know, a lot of people like to go to like Disney World or the Wax Museum. But another stop on the tour of L.A. was in Brentwood, when people would drive by the house that they were murdered on the front porch there. So that was another place that tourists visited in L.A.
Texter, a friend of mine got a picture with O.J. last week in Miami. He's still a celebrity. Oh, yeah. No, that's not going away. Texter, every white Bronco Hot Wheel became an O.J. Simpson car. I'll get you the spelling of this one, because we're getting multiple texts about the Shonda Scherer case. So we'll make sure that you get that, and we'll try to figure out. Texter says, I would argue that O.J. is what started 24-hour news coverage. I think what really started it was the 9/11 attack. And the thing that happened with 9/11 that we take for granted now is the news scroll across the bottom of the screen all the time didn't exist until 9/11. And then they would put two or three on the bottom of the screen just to keep you updated on what was going on. And that never went away. As Ronald Reagan would say, there's nothing more permanent than a temporary government program. In that case, there was nothing more permanent than a temporary scroll on the bottom of the screen. So it's never quite gone away. But yeah. No, those moments you remember where you were. Avery, do you remember 9/11, actually? Are you old enough to remember that?
I was in preschool.
Preschool, okay, got it. Yeah, okay. I was in college, and I was an RA, Dan. No one's surprised that I was an RA. And I was taking a shower, and we had the old school showers where the walls came up high enough that you could still see other people's, you know, heads, but you couldn't see anything else, and you could talk to each other in the shower. And one of my like freshmen or sophomores walks in and goes, "Hey, an airplane just crashed into the World Trade Center." I went, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, check it out when you get back to your room." And I turned on my TV, and it had been on ESPN, and ESPN was airing ABC's news coverage of it. And so I didn't even have to change. Yeah, I didn't even have to change the channel. Texter's the Waco attack started the 24-hour news. Man, that's a good one, too. That was the David Koresh stuff. That was a weird case and a very weird reaction by the government. Texter, first time I remember school being stopped was when the space shuttle exploded. Yeah, I think the Challenger for a lot of people was one of those, too. Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct. My wife and I got engaged on the same day that there was one of the shuttles came back in and was crashing. I can't remember which one it was because we went out to celebrate with my in-laws and all the TVs were on a crashing, poor people, on a crashing space shuttle. So there you go. Do you remember the moon landing, Dan?
I absolutely do. It happened, Sherry and I'm going to guess Sherry and I got married June 14th.
Okay.
And it was shortly after that. Was it the end of June, July,
The
moon landing? And I had, we had a little black and white TV, a 13-inch black and white TV in our bedroom.
July 20th.
And we watched, a month after we were married. So it was, and we were in our bedroom on that little black and white TV.
You and 650 million people.
One giant leap for mankind. Hey, a reminder, tomorrow, right out of the box at 10 o'clock, we're going to have Mark Spears, who is the senior NBA writer for Anscape, part of the ESPN.com. And so you'll want to join us then. This has been Issel and Louie, ESPN 680 105.7. Have a great day, everybody.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition. And I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it."
But then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist."
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.